Hello, it's Sylvia Byron here from the Good Neighbors Committee, and welcome to Conversations for Change. In an effort here to help us all learn to become better neighbors, in this set of podcasts, I am talking to folks about issues that may help clarify misconceptions, challenge biases, and foster connections. Hope you enjoy.
Welcome to another episode of Conversations for Change, brought to you by the Good Neighbors Committee. I'm sitting here today with Michelle Miller-Gauthier and Nikki Blake, both members of the Good Neighbors Committee, and both have had some experience with taking active witnessing courses and being people in our community who see moments of active witnessing needed. Let's start with Nikki. What is the definition of active witnessing?
Oh boy, I don't even know if we have a proper definition per se. I mean, we could go clinical and all the rest, but the essence of active witnessing is getting involved, responding to instances of harmful, discriminatory behavior that you see happening to someone, and instead of just reacting in the moment or not reacting, as the case may be, how safe it is to respond, but having the intention to respond if you are safe enough to do so in the moment or afterwards by pulling the person aside to say, hey, that wasn't cool. Mm-hmm. That really wasn't cool. Being an active witness is to not just be a bystander to discriminatory, hateful behavior that is being projected.
Michelle, as someone who works in the school system, do you have an example of maybe a time where active witnessing might be useful or needed?
Mm-hmm. There are actually lots of opportunities to actively but caringly promote safe learning environments. So the adults in the classrooms or in the hallways are needing to try to be alert to when there may be harm happening. It's a little bit trickier in terms of how to approach youth depending on their age, right? And when I think about working with teens, the act of calling in is often much more effective than calling out, depending on what's happening. And the calling in is about speaking to a person a little bit more privately would, maybe in some situations, where we have to think about them all as being vulnerable. Like, all youth and all children can be vulnerable. And nowhere else in society do we put that many people together based on their age, right, that in our society. And it's not safe for a lot of kids because they're all going through brain changes and learning situations are not always easy. So we have to be careful and make sure that we're treating everyone with dignity and that we're trying to create relationship and trying not to create more harm. Mm-hmm. And calling in.
So an example of calling out would be?
Publicly. Confronting a youth in a group setting. Mm-hmm. And it's often more effective to quietly pull a youth aside and have a calm, quiet conversation.
And that would be calling in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Nikki, what do you see the importance of active witnessing happen in veterans?
Before I get into that, I think it would be good to say here that we are all still learning about it because we're coming from situations where we may have not had to deal with this before on the scale that we have to deal with it now. I think part of the reason that we have to be more proactive is because this community is becoming more and more diverse. The North is becoming more and more diverse. And unfortunately, there are people who, because of the diversity, feel threatened. Mm-hmm. And express their discomfort, their fear in ways that are harmful.
So when we talk about, I want to be really clear here, when we talk about harmful, what does that look like?
Using racial slurs, using stereotypical language associated with different ethnic groups, making the insinuation that people are here to take away your jobs and or to water down the culture that you were used to, and changing the complexion of the place, you know, subtle things in language that are said that create discomfort and create a sense of, to other people, we don't want you here kind of situation by the way that you say certain things. I've had it said to me one time, boy, those people are really taking over everything in this town. Mm-hmm. And I had to go, those people? What people are you talking about? Entrepreneurs who are investing in business and wanting to see the town thrive and be prosperous? Not really sure what you mean by those people.
Mm-hmm. So what I hear is that it's really about when you witness an act of racism, stereotypical comments, whether it's subtle racism or overt racism, but also against any hate speech against any group. So it could be of the LGBTQ community, it could be towards new immigrants, it could be towards Indigenous people. Active witnessing, from what the both of you say, is really challenging those hurtful comments that could land on somebody and really affect them.
And not only just that, but it also should make you think about, what did I learn about stereotypes inform bias? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the bias now creates your perception that you have, whether it is a correct or incorrect perception you have of a group of people. Mm-hmm. And then now you go ahead and voice these perceptions that you have. And that is where the harm comes in now. Because have you had a conversation with the people that you are making these broad statements about? Have you had a conversation with them? Do you know if what you're saying is actually true?
Michelle, in the schools, how do you think it's important to actually teach youth about active witnessing and have teachers use active witnessing?
I think when youth witness other youth either perpetrating harm or being victims of harm, it's really emotionally disturbing. I'll talk about an example. A class had been watching some videos that were created by Prince George School District on anti-racism, and they interviewed people about the incidents that they had experienced within the school system that were racist. So they interviewed people from all different diverse cultures. And as this class watched these videos, one young learner started to sob. And the teacher quietly went to speak to the learner, and that student eventually put their hand up to share during a bit of a debrief. And they talked about how they had witnessed their Indigenous friends be subjected to racist comments and bullying around the community and in the schools. And it broke this youth's heart. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to intervene. So it's really important that we help all learners figure out ways to support each other.
Mm-hmm. So not only is it important to be able to stop the behavior of the people who are speaking that language, for people that are hearing and witnessing what's happening, they're also getting harmed because they feel paralyzed and not being able to change the behavior.
Yeah. And then they're filled with regret because they wish they could have done something, but they didn't know what to do, or they didn't want to make it worse.
Nikki, why is it important for the person who's experiencing the moment of racism or hate or bias, why is it important for them to have somebody else intervene, to have that person who's active witnessing step in?
They need to know that they're supported. Mm-hmm. They need to know that They're not unseen, unheard. They need to know that there are other people around them who see them in this vulnerable human moment and reach out with care and concern. The simple act of you as a bystander or witness going to say, hey, I saw what happened to you. That wasn't cool. And I want you to know that I'm really sorry that happened to you. And I don't agree with what that person did or what that person said. And I'm just reaching out with care and concern can go a long way to making someone feel, okay, I'm not experiencing this thing alone. There are other people who saw what happened and they saw that I was hurt and they responded with care and love and concern. Mm-hmm. And depending on what kind of action happened, the simple act of offering support to even say, would you like me to go with you to the police to report the incident? Mm-hmm. Would you like me to find someone who can help in this situation? Mm-hmm. Just that very act of offering support can actually go a long way. If you feel that you are not able to offer it in person, if you don't feel that brave to offer it in person yet, because let's face it, there are some people who live here who live in situations where if they offer support, physical harm will come to them by the perpetrator. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's something that we even talk about a lot. Mm-hmm. There are people who want to help, people who don't agree with certain things, but they can't say anything for fear of their own safety, mm-hmm. you know?
And so what I hear is really is that there's lots of ways to step in.
Yeah.
And you don't have to necessarily confront the person who is being racist or hateful, but supporting that person who's the victim. The moment when you said the Vanderhoof is becoming more diverse, Vanderhoof is, it's, and it's really important to create that safety for all people, for people that have been here since the dawn of time, our Indigenous neighbors, as well as our newcomers, as well as the people who live in, who are diverse within our community,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to support them and make it a safer place and to help us grow. I really hear you saying that, and I really appreciate that. And it doesn't mean that you have to confront the bully, but it does mean that we need to make people feel safer by saying, I saw that, I witnessed what happened to you.
It can be done anonymously too, you know.
What do you mean?
A simple act like, I'll use an experience I had.
Mm-hmm.
I was in one of our grocery stores one day, and I saw one of the workers in the store deal very loudly, very harshly with another co-worker who was of a different ethnicity,
mm-hmm.
in a very public, embarrassing way. And in the moment, I was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to jump in and say to this person, hey, you, don't talk to her like that. You know, but then I run the risk of being called the angry black girl, mm-hmm. stereotype. You see how harmful stereotypes are?
Absolutely.
I'm here standing up for the fact that you are treating this person unfairly. But the fact that I'm doing it, you're going to say, oh, but she's just another angry black girl.
Mm-hmm. But that
and when I saw that, you know, I together some co-conspirators because I didn't know how to approach a person, but I anonymously sent some flowers and wrote a letter and, you know, put a care gift together and say, hey, on this particular day, I saw this thing that happened to you and I wanted to know how you were treated was appalling.
Mm-hmm.
And it was terrible. Could I have gone further and found a manager up and say, hey, you have a worker that goes, you know,
mm-hmm.
and did this particular thing and I didn't want the person to be fired, you know,
mm-hmm.
but probably some sensitivity training,
mm-hmm.
because your staff is now diverse.
Mm-hmm.
And so people need to learn to speak to people nicely.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really an eye-opening moment for me, because
mm-hmm.
I realized in that moment that one, as somebody who moved here, as somebody who is an quote-unquote outsider. Mm-hmm. I never had to deal with that before.
Mm-hmm. And I also want to acknowledge that our Indigenous partners have always been here and experienced this from the Western society, have always had to struggle with that, dealing with stereotypes, bias, and that expression of hate. And I think now as we talk about active witnessing, I want to really recognize that it shouldn't be on the shoulders of people of color. It shouldn't be on the shoulders of our Indigenous people. And the larger Western society or white people need to also lean in and do active witnessing. And they also need to participate. Shell, what are you thinking about this?
I'm thinking of some examples where I've actually been really proud of Vanderhoofians when nice. There's been mostly in social media. So I remember seeing a recent post where someone had a name that was obviously from Southeast Asian culture, mm-hmm. and they had posted about a new business that they were going to be opening up here in town, mm-hmm. and someone openly mocked their name in the social media comments. And I know some people who reached out to that individual privately, the one who had made the original post and who was mocked, to make sure that they were taken care of. Are you okay? And this doesn't represent Vanderhoof. And it was wrong how this person mocked you. And then other people actually did some calling out and confronted the person, not in a horrible way. So there wasn't angry back and forthing, which can happen in social media, which can actually cause more harm or make the situation worse. And then still others reached out to the admin of that account, and the admin dealt with it. So I think people are learning ways to address some of the problems that they find unacceptable. And there are a lot of people who are starting to stand up and say, hey, this is not okay for Vanderhoof. I do not want Vanderhoof to be known like this. Mm-hmm. And more people in our community believe in the goodness and kindness of everyone, and they want everyone to feel welcome, and voices are starting to become louder, mm-hmm. which is really hopeful.
It is really hopeful, and I agree. I think Vanderhoof is, many of us are embracing the change and the shift of that more diverse population and are excited by it, because that means more people will come to Vanderhoof and more people will feel safe, mm-hmm. and that's a really exciting thing. Where do we learn about active witnessing and to safely witness?
I remember a year or two ago, Good Neighbors Committee had advertised active witness training, and I went and I found it really helpful. You know, our presenter was Angela Mar Brown, and we did 3 days, and it was a most enlightening 3 days. And I hope we'll have an opportunity to do it again, because I think the more we learn, the more we talk, the more we engage, is the better we'll become. Mm-hmm. I think one of the reasons that we are experiencing a lot is because I think more people are willing to have the conversation. And until you can learn to sit down and have the uncomfortable conversation first with yourself, and then have it with other people, then that is where the growth and the learning and the change is going to happen.
Agreed. And I think that you're right. We need to be brave and lean into those tough conversations and challenge your own bias. Michelle, can you tell me a little bit more about the Foundry?
So I'm just learning about this amazing organization that's in quite a few communities across the province, as soon to be in Burns Lake, apparently. Mm-hmm. And it serves youth up to age 24, I believe. And there are free services that are offered for mental health supports, physical health, sexual health. And they have a lot online as well. So you don't have to always be in a town that has the services face-to-face. So they have a really well-designed, concise webpage about active witnessing. And they also describe passive witnessing. And these are things that I don't think we really thought about before, like even trying to define what passive witnessing, which is what I think a lot of us have experienced, or that's how I behaved, is I would just try to stay out of it, mind my own business, and not cause trouble, don't want to ruffle feathers. But I'm learning that that's actually not okay. That's condoning harm. and I'm having to learn how to find my voice.
I have an example of a night where a man that I know very well, and he's very funny, but he chose to make a reference to demeaning LGBTQ. And I happen to know that there was some member of the LGBTQ community there. So I actually used Oliver's Woe. And it was scary as heck because I had never confronted this man before. And so I went, whoa. And I just did a whoa. And he looked at me. He caught himself. And I don't think he'll do that in front of me again. And I hope that he won't do it in front of that individual again. But it is scary. It is scary.
Yeah, it is scary, especially if you're the minority.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think this is why when people who are not from a place move to a place, you tend to hear that, oh, well, you know, people are very cliquish. They stay with their own people. Well, of course they stay with their own people if they're being met with unkindness mm-hmm. by everyone else. Do you really expect people mm-hmm. to integrate and be nice if they're not being treated nicely? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think people think about that. Why would anybody want to associate with anybody who is unkind? Why would anybody want to, and you know, it's, I might be going out on a limb here, but this happens with mixed race people. When they get, you're not indigenous enough, but you're not white enough, or you're not black enough, you don't really know who you belong, but you end up identifying more with the side of family that doesn't treat you like crap mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and who doesn't make those harmful digs as a quote-unquote joke and then turn around and say to you, oh, you can't take a joke. No, I can't take a joke because you're saying something harmful about me.
And it's not funny.
And it's not funny. I wish more people would really take the time to educate themselves about certain things. Our world is changing. Mm-hmm. Our world is more diverse than it has ever been. Because of advances in technology, in transportation, we can get up and choose to live anywhere we want to in the world now. And you can go and find people from every persuasion anywhere in the world now. And because of that, people are often afraid of things that they do not understand and are afraid of things that are new.
Mm-hmm.
And they translate that fear into unkindness. There's really nothing to fear because when last I checked, there's more than one way to cook macaroni and cheese.
Absolutely.
I personally like macaroni and cheese with mushroom soup and garlic powder. You know, somebody else might like it with
tomatoes and what's the Japanese? Panko. Tomatoes and panko.
Yeah, somebody else might like to bake their macaroni with crushed Kellogg's cornflakes on top. And somebody else might like to mix in bacon bits and something else in theirs. Does it mean that way of doing macaroni and cheese is wrong? No, it's just different. And heck, you might like it if you try it.
I really appreciate that this world is becoming more connected through technology, but also we need folks from all over the world to fill up the jobs in teaching, the jobs in social work, the jobs in medicine. We have qualified, amazing people that could help Vanderhoof blossom and grow. And we need to welcome folks into our community and make it a little safer here and make it a little more welcoming here. Good Neighbors Committee, we are going to be putting on a workshop, active witnessing workshop, between now and March 31st. We haven't got it specifically booked, but I want folks to really take a look out and watch our Facebook page.
Anybody who really likes to read books, the MIST program has been using a book called Upstanders for quite a few years.
Nice.
And it's about empowering youth to find their voice to help make the world a better place for each other, and learn how to defend each other and call people in.
Nice. Thank you very much for taking the time for me today, and I really appreciate your voices. And look out, everyone, for the next Active Witnessing course.
The Good Neighbors Committee came into being more than 20 years ago in order to address racism and to encourage the celebration of diversity in Vandergrift. Conversations for Change is a part of our Podcasts with a Purpose series and is intended to help people gain understanding that may help each of us lean into creating safer spaces for us all. This series is sponsored by Multiculturalism BC, and we are grateful for their support. The Good Neighbors Committee is made up of a dedicated group of volunteers and is open to any community members that want to join us in celebrating the diversity of our community, to promote inclusion, and to address racism and hate. Thank you for listening.